All right, my friends, welcome to Health Masters and TeamHealthMasters.com, bringing you the Ted and Austin Brower Show with the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a terrific morning today. Been wide open for me, making another shake here with some collagen and purple sticks. And yes, the HGH Stimulate Scratch and Dent Cell, there is a few cans left. I'm letting you know this on the live show right now. If I'm not mistaken, as the number was about 10 minutes ago, I have 27 cans left. I was on Hagman last night. Great show with Hagman. I was pretty fired up. I was on a bunch of purple sticks. Been a long day, and I kind of went off. So I apologize to absolutely nobody. Enjoy the show. You guys will love it. But the HGH Stimulate Scratch and Dent Sale, it's still here. It will time out on the website when it meets the inventory max. So if it says sold out, it's sold out. If it still allows you to check out and add a can, one can per person, put the coupon code SCRATCH in, you'll still get the product. So like I said, is once it catches, probably honestly, if you listen to the rerun right now, sorry. The live show will be gone in probably the next couple hours. So I want to give everybody an ample heads up on that, because on the site, there's the, that's what it looks like. I showed you guys yesterday. It's a big dent in my head. I don't know why it always happened on the right side of the can.
It's not a dent. It's a vacuum pack seal problem.
This guy looks like a dent. That's what my thing is. But there's no issue with the seal.
The seal is not. The reason that, the seal's not broke because it's still sucked in.
That's
like
exactly
that.
Exactly right. And now some of them do have a dent in his head, too. So I'm like, yeah.
Well, great. Me. That's great.
So,
oh, by the way, Jimmy Kimmel. I got to cover this. Jimmy Kimmel.
Did you email
it
to me?
Yeah, I'm going to play it right now. I'm going to play it. And, a lot of people saying, well, he was, he should be taken off the air for what he said. All right, I'm going to make a lot of our listeners really mad. He wasn't taken off the air because of what he said about, Kirk. Don't get me wrong. What he said about Kirk was very distasteful.
Yes, it was.
And he should never have done that. Because, this thing is way too fresh in everybody's mind now to be joking about stuff like this.
Especially somebody being executed, bro. That wasn't funny.
No, it's not
funny.
That
wasn't a joke.
But he said something that he should not have said, and I'm sure that the media was warned about not saying it, and that's why he was taken off. Now, a lot of you look at me like, what are you talking about?
I'm trying to play it. You didn't send it to me. You said you emailed it to me.
I did.
Did you text it to me?
I texted to you.
You texted me.
But do you want me to play the video of him talking, or do you want me to play the audio here?
We'll play the audio then, if I don't have a hold of it. I don't have the email.
Here's why he was taken off the air. You guys ready?
This is a backstory. Okay, so let me just put some context in this. Zero Hedge and multiple other platforms put out an article yesterday saying Jimmy Kimmel suspended indefinitely after pushing Charlie Kirk propaganda. Now, I thought this was true as well. I actually covered on Doug's. I just saw it last night. Now, there's a very, very small snippet of him making a very distasteful comment about MAGA and Charlie Kirk and then Trump building this massive ballroom. Okay? And it's just out of pocket.
It's 20, 30 seconds.
It's out of pocket. But then there's something he says at the very end of it. This is what got him flagged, and nobody's covering this, and everybody's spinning it to say it's because of what he said about Charlie Kirk. You got the audio?
Yeah. You guys ready?
You got to move the microphone down. Real low. Real low.
You
guys turn it down.
There you go. Right? You guys ready?
I think you're right. This is why I run the TV.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. I just played this a minute ago. Shouldn't be buffering. But it is. That's great. Well, that's great.
I told you to email it to me.
I texted it to you.
You texted me. That doesn't mean anything. I don't have either one. I don't text or email from you.
Why he's doing this. Okay, we're going to this is
well, while you're working on that and we're troubleshooting it, I'm going to come up with another health article here that just came out. This is a big deal. I'm going to go into detail. And this says, landmark study of teens and antidepressants hid harms shows no benefit. This is a really big deal because we've seen now many times over the years a lot of younger kids and teens are prescribed antidepressants. And one thing that's really, really important not to do, as best as possible, is don't mess up with the brain chemicals in young kids. It's a big deal.
You ready?
Oh, you got it going?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
By the time he's out of office, the White House will have
slot machines and a water slide. Trump is in major change the subject mode. On Friday, he stopped by the always friendly morning crew at Fox. Whenever Trump goes on Fox and Friends, it's funny because the hosts are so eager for him to be reasonable. They spell it all out for him. They desperately want to avoid having to nod along with anything crazy or contradict him. So they give him the question and their preferred answer, too.
Is the message to the right, the people that are going to go, I want revenge, not to have revenge?
You said the end of it.
By the time he's out of office.
Architects that would decide.
This is frustrating because I had it queued up. Hang on.
They said, Charlie Kirk is dead. I didn't know what they meant. I said, he was dead. Charlie Kirk was shot. And they thought he was dead because it was so horrific, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, dead.
And then we installed the most beautiful chandelier. Sconces, you wouldn't believe. There's something wrong with them. There really is. I mean,
here we go. Listen.
Who thinks like that? And why are we building a $200 million ballroom in the White? Is it possible that he's doing it intentionally so we could be mad about that instead of the Epstein list?
That's it. Right there. Did you hear it?
Well, I hope they heard it. I don't know if they heard it.
I know they heard it. Our God. Mad about that instead of the Epstein list? He brought up the Epstein list.
I've never major, heard anything about that.
No, nobody's covered this. We're the only one.
No major comedians or major nighttime guys say anything about Epstein at all.
Oh, no, but that was it. In my opinion, that's why he got canned. Don't get me wrong. What he said about Charlie Kirk and the stuff with Trump and all that, he shouldn't have done that. But he brought up the Epstein list. He touched the sacred cow, Austin. That brings up Epstein, that brings up Mossad, that brings up Israel.
Everything.
All of it.
Yep,
okay?
That's exactly right.
And that's the problem with all of this stuff. In fact, right now, Marjorie Greene, and basically, this is the lead story on Drudge, you got to hear. I'm going to read you the comment on top. Marjorie Taylor Greene issues warning. Now, you guys listening to it? Lead story on Drudge. Marjorie Taylor Greene issues warnings about Jews taking over Christian Patriotic Turning Point USA.
That's exactly what Nicholas said the other day. He said they offered him $150 million. They offered Charlie Kirk. Mm-hmm. Their budget was $142 million. They offered him $150, which had doubled their budget. Charlie Kirk turned it down.
Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene joined the chorus of hard-right influencers posting their past text messages from Charlie Kirk as the MAGNA World debates Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson's claim that Kirk has turned against Israel. By the way, he did. Owens had gone on to wildly claim that Kurt was feeling blackmailed by Israel. This is a lead story on Drudge, guys.
Yeah.
Blackmailed by Israel ahead of his death, despite Kirk being one of the most pro-vocal Israel voices on the right. Green added her voice to it. He used to be. Green added her voice to the firestorm on Wednesday with a post that included a screenshot of a text from Kirk asking her if she would like to take part in a debate about AIPAC, that's the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, at a recent Turning Point event. He was bringing that up, AIPAC, which kind of runs the White House. Charlie Kirk invited me to speak at an AmFest a few weeks ago before he was martyred, Green began her post adding. This was after I called for AIPAC to register under the FARA and said that the nuclear-armed secular government of Israel was committing genocide in Gaza and killing innocent children, Christians, and people. He asked if I wanted to debate about AIPAC, but made it clear not against him. He said TPUSA, would do whatever I want on the issue. If you know who to believe between Bibi Netanyahu, a foreign country's leader, or Charlie's personal friend Candace Owens or Tucker Carlson, I'm posting my last message with Charlie. You guys can read this. Believe Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson, said Green, referring to the two MAGNA influencers pushing anti-Israel conspiracy theories around Kirk's death and legacy, before going on to say, Charlie Kirk is an American Christian. Charlie Kirk is a devoted, loving mother, father, husband, and father. Charlie Kirk is a Christian movement leader, a giant in American history. Charlie Christian is a martyr for Jesus Christ. Charlie Kirk is a free speech warrior and was committed to nonviolent debate. Do not allow a foreign country called Israel, foreign agents from Israel, and other religions Jewish, tell you about Charlie Kirk. And I hope a foreign country and foreign agents and other religions don't take over Christian Patriot Turning Point USO, she concluded, indirectly referring to Israel and American Jews. Now, guys, This isn't me. This is the lead story on Drudge this morning, Austin.
That's surprising to me.
Okay, it was Drudge is going, well, enough people are talking about it. And then Donald Trump gets really, really mad, and he starts talking about, you know what's going on with Charlie Kirk and what's going on with Benjamin Netanyahu. And, you know, of course, you know, Donald Trump is always, you know, kind of a foul mouth anyhow. But I'm going to read you what he says, and I'm going to kind of abbreviate for you. And again, another lead story on Drudge. And I'm just, you know, it's just absolutely interesting to me that this is actually going on and what's happening here. Remember, Turning Point, very, very top, and basically it, trying to find the stuff about Benjamin Netanyahu. Okay, they pulled it off Drudge. I'm going to try to pull it because it's not.
I'm going to post something real quick. I want you guys to watch this while you're looking for that.
Go ahead.
This is about a month and a half ago when a lot of stuff was still coming back and forth, the Epstein files. Charlie Kirk and Candace Owens had a big discussion on it because Charlie Kirk had been doing a significant amount of research about Epstein, also Epstein's involvement with Mossad and Epstein's involvement with gathering an intel to use blackmail against senators and congressmen. This is Charlie Kirk. I want you guys to hear this. A lot of people have not seen this video because it got pretty much shadow banned, so to speak. And this is him going into detail about what he learned, and he put it on the air. It was like a month and a half ago. Watch this.
Jeffrey Epstein. Take a listen.
Epstein, with his little friend Ghislaine and Ghislaine's father, Robert Maxwell, who was obviously a spy of the Israeli intelligence agencies, but there was something else going on here. Epstein was not some sort of whiz kid hedge fund manager. Epstein was playing a part. Epstein was a LARPer. Epstein was cast for a specific role, and he played it really well. The sweatpants and the Harvard jacket, the kind of disheveled hair, looking as if he was so smart and above the clouds that he was doing advanced mathematic equations on the back of napkins. But if you actually go into some of the videos of people that met with Epstein at the time, they said he was awfully unimpressive when it came to finance and markets and economics.
Nothing
new that if you're in the intel agencies, you want to try and get as much blackmail on powerful people as possible. Easy, not hard. And this is no longer just speculation. First of all, the evidence that shows that Epstein was a creation of either Mossad, Israeli intelligence, American intelligence, Saudi intelligence, or maybe he was just a hired gun. Maybe he was just the guy that countries would go to and park a couple hundred million bucks and say, hey, can you get one of the members of the royal family with a 13-year-old so we can get them to do what we want to do? Members of Congress are actively being blackmailed. The Epstein playbook is being used on a daily basis. Jeffrey Epstein was not a financier. He was not a hedge fund manager. Jeffrey Epstein was a key player in a multi-decade blackmail operation against the most powerful people on the planet.
And he was Mossad, and he worked for Israel. Now, that's about as blunt as we can get. Now, Donald Trump is, this is the Wall Street Journal, lead story, Drudge. Donald Trump fumes about Netanyahu, but gives him free rein.
Yeah. You notice that. He complains about it, but he does nothing. And gives him more money.
He uses the F word. He's effing me, the U.S. president said of Israel's prime minister after strikes on Hamas in Qatar.
Hamas.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Hamas, that's an Israeli invention.
Jeez.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio met this week with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu and laid out the U.S. objectives and the war in Gaza. President Trump is frustrated with Israeli president, career criminal, lying piece of crap, Benjamin Netanyahu. I added all that. The question is whether he will ever be angry enough to do anything about it. Trump has told several aides in recent weeks that Netanyahu prefers using military force to compel Hamas's surrender instead of the president's preferred method of negotiated ceasefire. Well, you can't pull the bulldozers under. You can't put the D9s in there.
There's nothing about Hamas.
No.
It's about wiping all structures out.
Yeah, his frustration boiled over last week, hours after Israel attacked Hamas negotiators in Qatar, an operation that threatened to derail the fragile peace talks. He's effing me, Trump said about Netanyahu, according to officials who heard the comment. Trump was in conversation with senior aides, including Secretary of State Marco Rubio, about how to respond to the brazen strikes. Trump's sometimes heated feelings about Netanyahu have puzzled Washington. Why is Trump, who prefers to keep the upper hand in relationships, willing to let Netanyahu continue to operate in direct defiance of his wishes? It's slightly baffling and counterintuitive, says Shalom Lipner, who served seven consecutive... Okay, I didn't say about him breathing freeze air. I didn't say a word about him with big nose and breathing freeze air. I said slightly baffling and counterintuitive, says Shalom Lipner, who served seven consecutive Israeli prime ministers in their offices over a quarter of a century and is now at the Atlantic Council of Washington think tank. Netanyahu moves that prolonged the Gaza war, created trouble for Trump with U.S. other and U.S. allies of the region, and made the expansion of Abraham Accords excruciatingly difficult, said Lipner, referring to Israel's normalization of relations with a handful of Arab countries. I'm going to let you... Trump has also, upon occasion, used harsh language about Netanyahu, including after the Israeli leader congratulated Joe Biden on his presidential victory in 2020 when he told journalist Barak Ravid that he considered the Israeli leader disloyal and effing him again. This sounds like such a classy guy.
It's classy for President Trump, F-bomb after F-bomb after F-bomb. My gosh.
You know, so anyhow, that's World Wall. So the Wall Street. So here's the question we have. Oh, that's right. Elon Musk told us that, didn't he?
I mean...
Trump was on the Epstein list.
It's kind of... And again, I'm not friends with Elon Musk. I don't know him personally, but I will tell you this. It's very ironic that he had free reign to do whatever he wanted to do with Doge. He was directly involved in the White House. He was doing press conferences with Trump on a regular basis. He was doing all these different things to cut the spending. And then suddenly, they get into this massive debate, whoever they got in a debate with, when Elon started pushing very heavily to audit Fort Knox on their gold holdings. I mean, that went on national news for about 2 days. Trump said he's going down there. Elon Musk said they wanted to make sure. Why can't Donald Trump take Secret Service to Fort Knox and do an audit of a gold reserve? Why can't they go down there and do a brief video? Just curious. He wants to tweet about everything or go on X. He wants to post everything on these posts. Why can't they go down there and do a short video? Hey, guys, a lot of stuff's classified, but yeah, here's a pallet of gold bricks right here, and we're doing a full audit while we're down here.
Well, I'm going to do it. I would do it either with a quarter-inch drill bit and a drill.
Yeah.
And I'd drill those.
I don't even think they'd go through the way of trying to do plated gold down there. I don't think it's down there.
I think they've got one vault down there that's got plated gold, and it's probably lead that's covered
in gold. They may have a small degree of gold down there, very small amount.
It's the plating. I don't believe they have any real gold
down
there.
I think they've liquidated all major holdings.
That's why. Why do you think Nixon took us off the gold standard? Because everybody was trading in dollars for gold. And we had no choice. We had to do it. Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, by the way, just a little bit of... You know, mental candy here this morning, in case you really even care.
Bubblegum.
Pretty much everybody thinks that Bridget Macron, who's like 20 years older than the president.
Oh, Bridget.
That she's a dude.
She's a dude.
Okay.
There's been jokes about that now.
Well, no, because Candace almost brought it up.
She brought it up.
Yeah. So basically, we've got, so they're saying that Bridget's a woman. Well, if she's a woman, she's the ugliest woman I think I've ever seen. My God, that woman's ugly. Okay. But the point is, she tries to look like a woman. And my opinion is she a woman? Yeah, whatever.
Speculate all you want.
It's about as much as Michelle Obama's a woman.
This is interesting.
But no, let me finish this.
Okay, I want to cover this.
Macrons are now going to offer scientific evidence to prove that Bridget is a woman.
Scientific evidence?
There we go. French president and wife will show photos to court of Miss Macron's pregnancies and raising her children. Oh, wait a minute.
Have you ever heard of AI?
Have you ever heard of fake belly bumps?
AI? Yeah. Photos?
No. We had an old joke one time in college in genetics. They said, if you really want to know what somebody's gene, what somebody's sex is, you pull their genes down.
It's about as accurate as it gets.
Now that would be something that could not be unseen. It'd be unbelievably horrific if that actually happened. All right?
Let's not do that with him or her.
Oh,
or it,
gosh.
Whatever.
But the point is, or you just run a DNA test in case you've been snipped. But the reality is, this is some sick stuff nowadays. Because remember, Macron said, I would have ruled France like a Greek god from the throne.
He's another shill.
No, and he's another shill. And he's all these people become are this, you know, it's like the president of Mexico, you know, she's Jewish. And Macron, you know, he's being run by the Rothschild banking cartel. And it's like I said the other day, they want to go ahead and they want to run the entire board of the Monopoly game.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to run the entire world.
They want to own all the hotels and all the houses. They want all of them.
Well, Klaus Schwab.
Yeah.
Das große Frucht, Klaus Schwab. Was hat er gesagt? What did he say? The crazy Karl Schwab? By 2030, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy.
Yep.
You know? And now, so it's just, it is what it is, Austin. I mean, and so these groups, this group of international banking cartel elitists, you know, they're actually scum, a bunch of perverts, they believe that their God is a snake in a tree called Ein Sof, and they've got to worship him. And the closest expression they can have to basically being, you know, a person that worships their God is a transgender. And they put these people in these positions of power just in order to mess with us, Austin.
Oh, yeah.
watch us do this. This will be fun. And then the thing about it is, too, think about what was going on with Kimmel now being pulled off over, I think, with the Epstein list comment, is that you hear it less and less and less. You hear Epstein.
Yep, that's exactly
pretty
right.
Pretty soon it's overwhelmed with the overwhelming amount of news that's dumped on top of it. So how dare Kimmel bring up the Epstein files? Well, what did he do?
He brought it back up. That's exactly right.
Instead of talking about what he's supposed to talk about and be a comedian and be the court jester, he yelled, Epstein files. And everybody goes, oh, yeah, I remember that now. So now all the news cycle with Charlie Crook and all the rest designed to cover up a lot of this stuff, all of a sudden it brought back up. And notice, nobody talked about it except for us.
Yeah.
Now, because we talked about it today, this is just what's going to happen now. Everybody will start talking about it again.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to know the truth about the Epstein file. And now one of the congressmen said that the guy was lying about not having any names, and they've got at least 20 names of the Epstein people, the Johns, that were involved with these young girls, and that basically they're saying that, you know, we have the ability to release these names. We've been able to put these names together. However, nobody wants to release the names.
No.
And so you think, what the heck, you know, why are they doing this? Well, because they don't want people to know who the people are. GOP lawmaker makes blockbuster claim. FBI has at least 20 names of suspected Epstein clients. This is from the Miami Herald. The Republican lawmaker revealed for the first time on Wednesday that there is a quasi-list of suspected clients of sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein that can be compiled from a series of witness statements and other evidence gathered by the FBI. Representative Thomas Massey, representative from Kentucky, told the House Judiciary Committee that he thinks the FBI has named at least 20 people tied to Epstein, including prominent figures in the music industry, finance, politics, and banking. Imagine that. Massey's statement comes as FBI Director Cash Patel testified under oath before Congress over 2 days of contentious hearings, during which he consisted and continued to consist that there is no client list or no credible evidence that Epstein trafficked underage girls to anyone than himself. But Massey cited files used by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York, which summarized interviews with witnesses and suspects. The lawmakers claimed those files include one Hollywood producer worth over $100 million, one royal prince, one high-profile individual in the music industry, one very prominent banker, one high-profile government official, one high-profile former politician, one owner of a car company in Italy, one rock star, one musician, at least six billionaires, including a billionaire from Canada. We know these people exist in the FBI files, the files that you control. But Patel says, nothing here to see.
It makes total sense. That's why Lex Wessner gave, you know, Epstein a $70 million six-story mansion penthouse, I mean, complex in Manhattan right after he got done with his 13-month stint in Florida and he kept his mouth shut. That's pretty normal. I mean, generally, I hang out with a lot of people. They're like, hey, you know what? Do you want this $70 million penthouse that I have? Yeah, you can have it. Yeah, for no reason. That's normal, right? It's normal.
You know, it's interesting. I remember. No, I'm not gonna say that. I've got some inside information I can't give out. But the whole thing about it is, this is one of the reasons that I can't stand Victoria's Secret.
Oh yeah, because Lex Wessner was involved. Well, I don't have an enormous amount of direct connection with it, but there was a lot of, how should I say, there was a lot of intel that came out over the years that's how Maxwell was getting a lot of the females, was through Victoria's Secret and giving these girls allegedly these contracts through Lex Wessner to do modeling for Victoria's Secret. And then they'd either do it or they wouldn't, or, hey, we're going to go to the island for the weekend if you want to go ahead and go down there and hang out with everybody. And then we're going to make sure you have a good contract next month when you turn 18.
1,000 girls went down. 20 people are left to testify.
Yeah.
Where'd the rest of them go, Austin?
Now, also, too, this is something I want to bring up, because RF Kennedy Jr., apparently they do not like the whole entire pharmaceutical industry. Along now with the Senate hearing, they've spun this whole thing now and tried to put it on him with the termination of dad's favorite friend, Susan Moranez. It's his favorite cat loving friend right here on the left. He just, you know. I think I'm actually going to get her. I'm going to get her number.
That's actually not a bad. No,
I'm
don't
gonna
you say it.
Get
don't
her
you say it. I don't want. I'm not going out with her.
I'm going to send her an email.
No, man.
Ted is highly intrigued with you. No. But anyway, so they brought this Senate hearing. Liz, they really prepped this girl, though. If you watch the Senate hearing, they come in now to do the Senate hearing on why she got terminated. And she comes right out the gate and says, today should not be about me. the former director said. Today should be about the future of trust in public health. And it morphs into this forum and essentially accusing Robert F. Kennedy Jr. of everything, including posing an existential threat to public health. And essentially, if he stays in power, the HHS, then the entire country is going to die. Everybody's going to die. He's going to ruin the whole country. Why? Because he's pulling Red 40 out, high fructose corn syrup, and questioning the hepatitis B shot?
Dealing back to the shots. That's why she's saying
this. That's exactly what it's going back to, because she said she would not go along with anything in this dangerous agenda. Listen to what she said. She goes, Marinus testified, and I quote, vaccines are not controversial at all because they're safe and they work. Now, I got a question real quick. Put on number four. Here's a VAERS summary. This is the VAERS analysis, Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. This is very, very documented, well documented, very accurate in most cases. Number of adverse events for the COVID vaccine, 1.666 million so far. That's just on the VAERS website, not any other countries. Look at this right here. Look at this for a second. Cumulative reported deaths documented on VAERS vaccines, documented with VAERS. Just the COVID shot alone in 4 years has contributed directly to 40,000 deaths on record. Now, we're not even talking about stuff that they didn't contribute, stuff that doctors intentionally left off, stuff that they basically didn't want to report on. We're talking about VAERS cumulative reported deaths after the COVID vaccine on a four-year summary. We're at 40,000 directly related deaths. So I ask...
1% get reported.
Yeah. And so I ask the question, how are these possibly safe? 40,000 deaths. 40,000 deaths. And they'll go, well, it's because it's for the greater good. It's for the herd immunity. The herd immunity. Everybody I know that didn't get the shot is strong as an axe, as strong as an ox, and unbelievably healthy all the time, doesn't get sick. You get COVID, okay, whatever. You passed it. 40,000 direct deaths related to the death vaccine on VAERS reporting system. And again, that's only 1% to 2% reported. So I asked the question again, how are these shots possibly supposed to be safe? And the answer is they're not. So now they're going off Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and saying that he's going to contribute to this massive pandemic again. He's going to hurt the entire country. This is what they're trying to do when you go after big pharma. Remember, big pharma is a what was it? $550 billion, I think, last year in pharmaceutical drug sales? We're pushing market cap of $1 trillion in a couple of years if this trend continues to go along. $1 trillion a year in drugs in a couple of years? That's baffling. That's mind-blowing. But again, this is what they do to confuse people by telling them it's safe, it's safe, it's safe, it's safe. The numbers don't lie. Look at them. And this goes back to this other topic I was talking about here earlier. This is a reanalysis of study going back to kids and basically antidepressants and how dangerous they are. So I talked about it briefly. We were starting the video up. This is a reanalysis found that fluoxetine alone showed no measurable benefit over placebo in treating adults' depression after 12 weeks. However, research uncovered 11 additional suicide-related events that were hidden or misclassified, bringing the total down to 21 serious incidences. Statistical tactics and selective reporting make fluoxetine appear safe and more effective than it really was in clinical trials. This is what me and him talk about all the time. How they manipulate these trials.
Me and him.
Him and I. It was a bad grammar.
Me and Dad.
Oh. You mean the grammar? Him and I? You and I?
Dad and I. Dad and I talk about this all the time.
Well, yeah. Anyway. I digress.
Now I'm a him. This is awful. I'd rather do that than her.
I was about to say. me and her talking about zir, zir, zims. That my favorite. What the heck is zir? I saw it again the other day on somebody's pronoun thing that they posted.
I have no idea.
Zir? Call me zir. Like, what are you smoking, dude? Get off of it. It's not healthy for your brain. You're rotting yourself. My gosh. This is a different analysis mentioned that adverse events and side effects essentially were excluded from the original report as new findings are uncovered. Be very cautious, my friends, when you're dealing with young kids and teenagers. Their brains are still developing. When you start putting them on these SSRIs, these other types of antidepressants, in most cases, let me say this, especially with a young child. If you have a young child and they have not experienced significant like PTSD or some extreme event, because sometimes events like that, you might need some type of interaction. I'm not even going to, if they have something really got exposed to, it's bad. But a normal, healthy child, average child in the United States, they don't have an issue with antidepressants and needing them. In most cases, their diet's piss poor. Their lifestyle's extremely sloppy and slow. They continue to not be pushed or have any types of goals. They sit inside the house, play video games or iPads and phones, and they don't have any type of direction. Young children are designed to be hands-on. They're designed to be involved in things. They're designed to explore, experiment, build, play, get hurt, get dirty, get mud, fall out of a tree, jump on stuff.
Fall of a very low tree.
Low tree. You know what I mean, though. I mean, we had that big, giant one that we had next door, the old Betty's house. And we had that big rope swing.
That camphor tree that rotted from the inside.
Yeah, we had that rope swing on, though, back in the day.
That rope swing,
about 30-foot rope swing. I look back, I'm like, oh, that was sketchy. But anyways, I digress. The thing about this is when you take young children, you put them in front of a screen all day, and you put them in a classroom for 8 hours, you tell them to shut up, be quiet, sit still, don't ask questions, don't be a child, and then go home and get back on a screen, what do you think is going to happen to them? They're going to get extremely depressed. Their body's not going to develop, their brain's not going to develop properly. They're not going to get adequate sunshine. Sunshine's one of the most important things for young children, with sun and air. My son, Stetson, he is something else. I got my hands full with him. He's 18 months old now. He's a different breed. He's like me, worse. That kid cannot stand to be inside, ever. I have to put all these deadbolt switches on all the doors now, because he'll just, as soon as he gets a chance, he bolts for the door. Bolts the door, swings it open, and runs out in the backyard. Goes for a tree, goes for a fort, or wherever else he tries to go, climb a fence. I don't know what to do with him half time. He's wide open. I mean, he will not stay inside. He likes to be outside.
No vaccines.
No vaccines. And he eats super clean. All everyone sees is eggs all the time. Eggs all the time. I'm just eggs. I mean, she should pile of eggs. I'm like, I got me. Woo, it's going to be fun. But no, I've taken him before. He'll be crying and fussing and mad about something. Just mad for no reason. I take him outside. I put him in the grass. Boom. Gone. No crying. No mad. Just takes off. Just runs. Run. And I got to go find him. Luckily, I got giant fencing, full perimeter around the compound, so there's no way for him to escape yet until he figures out where the ladder is.
I remember you were 8 years old, and we were skiing. I think it was in Breckenridge one time.
Yeah.
And we were staying in this little condo, and I remember I said, how many eggs you want for breakfast, Austin? He said, I want a dozen. I remember this.
Yeah.
And so I said, you want a dozen eggs?
Yeah. I was going to do it. I tried.
No, I did. I cooked a dozen eggs, and he ate about eight of them. He did.
I got it.
He goes, Daddy.
It's a lot of eggs. Daddy, I think you ate the rest of them.
I can't eat anymore. I'm like, that's all right. You ate about eight eggs.
It's eight times. That's like 96 grams of fat. Like 12 eggs.
Well, you were good for the ski slope.
Oh, right? Yeah, man. I was running all fat and protein, man. You don't need carbs. I was probably going full keto.
I remember, we're all growing out there learning how to ski, right? And here comes also zipping around everybody.
No poles.
No poles. And I'm like, that's
cutting
great.
Edge. That's well, one of the problems, I'd seen that film. I don't really recommend it. I thought it was pretty good, but Beauty and the Beast, the original one. But I didn't like the Beast. I like Gaston. Sorry. He's running around. He's got his rifle trying to kill the Beast.
When I was a lad, I ate 10 dozen eggs in order to get large.
Now I'm the size of a barge. I remember. I couldn't understand why everybody was so mad at him for trying to kill this giant monster. I really was confused. I was like,
because they were all promoting bestiality.
Why are you trying to hunt him? He's a monster. We're going hog hunting today, boy. Yeah. A big old blunderbuss shooting at everything. But I digress. That was my mind as a child. Now I don't really, you know.
I don't know. It sounds like you still kind of want to go hunt
I
stock.
Do like hunting hogs. They're a nuisance down here in Florida, especially with thermal and suppressor.
Oh, by the way, night. CNN is melting down over the Kimmel getting canceled, calling it an open threat. And I'll be honest with you, it is an open threat. Considering he really didn't say anything. I mean, what he said was out of
it was pretty out of context.
Yeah, but it did.
Yeah, I mean, Charlie Kirk hadn't even been dead a week, dude.
But this guy's been on CNN for 20. This guy's been on there for 20 years.
He has, but I mean, he made a giant joke of it and made a joke about Trump, like Trump was joking about it. It was pretty out of context. But nobody referred or talked
to the
about
Epstein list.
Comment. I didn't even know about that Epstein comment until he came to the studio this morning. I watched part of it on Zero Hedge. They never showed any of that.
Yeah.
And I was like, Epstein? I never heard about Sidney. Nobody said anything about
it. There's a reason I played it on air today.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I want you guys to hear it, because it may be taken down.
Yeah.
I may scrub it.
You need to do is you need to screen record it.
Okay.
Send it to me. I'll screen it. That way you actually have it.
I have texted it to you.
I don't have it. Your email did not work. I don't have text. I don't have email. I don't have nothing from you. We'll handle this after the show.
Well, yeah. Sorry about bringing you guys into that conversation.
But no, nobody's discussed it at all. And I guarantee you, because there's no late show night that is going on. There's shows that are going on late night, excuse me, that are talking about this and basically going on. And it's like Epstein's just disappeared off the planet. The whole topic's disappeared of it.
Oh, by the way, Megyn Kelly is now talking about Charlie Kirk, how he's bringing young people back to God and to Jesus. And she said that the youth has turned on the left and no longer want any part of it, and they want to be in with God and with Christ and with Jesus. And guess what? The Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan was quaking in its boots.
That's exactly right. I did. You guys got to listen to the first section that I did on the Hagmann Show last night, about the first 25 minutes. I absolutely just, the purple sticks kicked in. I felt it. I talked about it. I apologized to nobody. I was not nice at all. But one thing that I brought up, and I've heard this now from multiple people at secular schools that I know that have emailed me now, is they said the thing about it is, and one of the reasons why they want to shut him up is because, A, they couldn't shut the media down because it wasn't on social media. He was going to universities like Dad and I talked about, and he was making his voice heard, and he did it from a Christian basis, and people were changing at universities. I talked to one guy, sent me an email the other day, he's a listener, he's a customer, I forgot what university it was up out west somewhere. And he said when Charlie Kirk came in the university, he goes, people acted different after he left. Mm-hmm. People started talking.
Holy Spirit. Yep.
People started having different discussions, going, well, maybe there is a secondary option to this. Maybe there is a different version of this. Maybe we aren't always right about this. Maybe the theology and Marxism that's being shoved down our throats in this public university isn't the best way we need to act. Maybe we can actually find different ways and different things and different options instead of following what we're told like good little goldfish and don't ask questions. He was bringing questions to light that made people think. That's what they don't want. They're terrified of that. They don't want people thinking.
Remember George Carlin said, "You can't think. No creative." I'll pull up the card.
Left, right, stick. Left, mm-hmm. Left, right. Do not go with the other. Stick with one. Stay with one. You can't go up the middle. You can't ask questions. And that's exactly what he was doing. And he did it in a manner where he wasn't being derogatory. He wasn't going in and, you know, basically name calling constantly and calling people out. He was actually there having open debates. Remember, this hardcore Luciferian agenda, they don't want people having open debates. Right. They don't want people to have conversations.
I'm going to read you a couple of quotes from Charlie's, right, real quick.
Do it.
Yeah. Governments, this would be the Sabbatean Luciferian Kabbalah group that control the governments, don't want a population capable of critical thinking. They want obedient workers, just smart enough to run the machines and just dumb enough to be passively accept their situation. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own all and control all corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls, and they got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they just control just about all the news and information you get to hear. Whoa.
Interesting.
Kind of sounds like us. Some people have no idea what they're doing, and a lot of them are really good at doing it. We're not having an idea. Keep in mind, the news media are not independent. They are sort of a bulletin board and public relations firm for the ruling class, the people who run things. Those who decide what news you will or will not hear are paid by and tolerated purely at the whim of those who hold economic power. If the parent corporation doesn't want you to know something, it won't be on the news, period. Or at the very least, it'll be slanted to suit them and then rarely followed up. If you are selfish, ignorant citizens, you're going to get selfish, ignorant leaders.
There you go.
The real reason that you can't have the Ten Commandments in the courthouse, you cannot post, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not lie, in a building full of lawyers, judges, and politicians, it creates a hostile work environment.
Ooh.
Don't just teach your children to read. Teach them to question what they read. Teach them to question everything. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason it will never, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you've got, because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now, the real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put here to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. If you vote and elect dishonest and competent people in office, you screw up everything. You're responsible for what they do and what they've done. You caused the problem. You voted them in. You have no right to complain. Governments don't want a population capable of critical thinking. They want obedient workers. You know, you were born. When you're born, you get a ticket to the freak show. And when you're born in America, you get a front row seat to the freak show. Wow. Unbelievable. People are wonderful. I love individuals. I hate groups of people. I hate a group of people with common purpose because pretty soon they have little hats, little armbands, little fight songs, and lists of people they're going to visit at 3 a.m. So I dislike and despise groups of people, but I love individuals. Every person you look at, you can see the universe in their eyes if you're really looking. You know what's interesting about him? He said so many things that I agree with, some of the things that are okay with what he said. But the point was, he was a real person because he was doing the same thing that Charlie Kirk was doing, Austin. He was going out to live audiences and selling out tens of thousands of people so they could hear him talk about this. Same thing David Icke did.
Yep.
Now, I wish David Icke was a Christian, but he's not.
I do,
but
too.
But David Icke was going out and basically going in these giant arenas and talking about the real rulers of this planet from the other dimensions. Yeah, he called them, reptilian aliens, I guess. So I'd call them the fallen angels. But the reality is this. If we understand that we're being ruled and we're kind of like a slave colony, it starts to make more sense, Austin. And they want to own everything. And so when Jimmy Kimmel comes up and says, what about the Epstein list?
Yeah.
Okay, you're off.
Even though he was joking, tongue-in-cheek with it, he thought it was funny. Ooh, that wasn't funny. He wasn't supposed to talk about it.
Well, no, you can't talk about
it. Basically brought it to the top of the discussion.
And nobody's talking about it again.
Nope. No,
nobody brought up what he said.
Well, no, I played you the video with what was going on with Charlie Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
That video, he was talking about it. He was getting very vocal about it. Him and Candace Owens have been questioning the heck out of it. They don't want anybody even mentioning the word Epstein anymore.
I talked to a Zionist friend of mine who used to have a TV show. He's retired now.
Yeah.
And I sent him that video. And boy, he just unloaded on me.
Oh, of course.
And I've known the guy for 40 years. And I just laughed. I put him an LOL back to him. I said, you know what, bud? I said, I love you. I said, we obviously seriously disagree. You love this guy. You knew this guy. He knew Charlie Kirk.
Okay.
That he'd been on his show.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. No, that he's that big. And he said, you don't understand. Because back then when Charlie Kirk was on a show, he was pro-Israel, pro-Israel,
right.
Pro-Israel. And I said, you don't understand that Charlie Kirk has awakened. The problem is almost all of my friends that are pro-Israel won't wake up. They refuse to. They won't. And I don't care what you say. It's like the people who believe in vaccines. It doesn't matter how many research studies you send them on the dangers of vaccines. A lot of them simply will not listen.
The thing that boggles my mind, this from the Christian standpoint, from the church standpoint, is when you have a country that's committing genocide on another country, especially when it's massive, has a massive Christian population.
Used to.
And suddenly it's okay because it's a country you've been told that they're our greatest ally, even though they hate us. I mean, they believe in the Talmud that Jesus was a sorcerer, that he tried to lead a revolt against Rome and was crucified for it because he was a criminal.
Well, they say he wasn't crucified. He died in Nevada sewage.
They don't even believe he was a prophet. Mm-hmm. They don't believe any of that.
Demon-possessed sorcerer.
You know, I got something. I'm going to play this video because I can't stand this guy so much. I'm going to play it. I saw it again the other day. I'm going to play it.
You're going to do it.
I'm going to do it. I want you guys, because I've had people send me links. No, he's accurate on this. Oh, no. We're going to.
The divinity of Christ.
Right. I want you to hear this piece of crap right here.
The Gospels, which were written.
He was just a prophet. Listen to this.
Jewish point of view, where we don't believe in the divinity of Christ. I think that there you can make an argument that the Gospels, which were written.
He was just a prophet.
No. We don't even believe he was a prophet.
What do you think he was? What do you guys think?
What do I think he was historically? I think he was a Jew who tried to lead a revolt against the Romans and got killed for his trouble, just like a lot of other Jews at that time who were crucified for trying to lead revolts against the Romans and got killed for their trouble.
So he became legend in story, and it became a bigger and bigger deal as time went on.
Yeah, he had a group of followers, and then that gradually grew, and then...
Don't send me anything on Ben Shapiro, please. I do not care for him. He absolutely hates Christ. He's a hardcore Talmud follower. He's very open about it. He thinks Jesus was essentially a sorcerer, and he got killed because he tried to root a revolt against
him. And he took over Rush Limbaugh's
show.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
They should have put Mankow on
the
slot.
And the funny thing is, the crazy thing is, Charlie Kirk had an interview with him 2 days before he was killed, and he brought up the fact that basically, why can't anybody in the media question the Jewish state and their behavior and hatred against Christians? And dude, this guy, he got pissed. He goes, the Jews own the media. And Charlie Kirk goes, yeah, we do know the Jews own all the media. This is why they give you guys top tier headlines all the time. And he got irritated about it 2 days before he got killed. I'm not saying any of those are related. I'm not speculating. I'm not blaming. I'm not claiming. I'm not saying he was involved with any of this. Let me clarify that. What I am saying is he is very vocal about he does not believe in the divinity of Christ at all. He's a hardcore Jewish Talmud follower, period. I don't care about what he says when it comes to anything at all because he's pushing an agenda. In my opinion, I think he's Mossad. Has been for a while.
Well, I guarantee he's Mossad.
Yeah.
And it's just part of it. It's just, you know, it's all part of the network they have that's basically a giant spider web all over the United States through the halls of Congress and legislation and through the doggone court systems. That's what they
Now, this is a huge story that just came out yesterday. It's gotten like zero coverage. This is one of the first times we've actually been able to see this in a true research study. It says a new preprint study presents the first direct evidence that genetic materials from RNA COVID vaccines integrate in the human genome, triggering aggressive cancers, according to the authors.
Whoa. We've been talking about
it. Oh, yeah, we've been talking about it. And everybody said it's speculation. And for part being, it has been. Although we understood the dynamics of how it was happening and we were talking about it, there was no significant direct link proof scientifically published. That has now all changed. Genetic material contained within RNA COVID vaccines can now integrate into the human genome, contributing to the onset of aggressive cancer, new research states. They go in here and says, we believe this is a warning sign the world cannot ignore, epidemiologist Nicholas Hulsher. The study results contradicts claims by all vaccine manufacturers, that the RNA COVID vaccines do not alter human DNA and are not contaminated with DNA fragments. The pre-published study was posted this week on Monday in Zenota, an online research repository operated by CERN. CERN published this. This is the first study to prevent direct evidence that genetic material integrated in the human genome and directly linking it to cancer. The study focused on a case of a very healthy 31-year-old female who developed rapidly progressive stage 4 bladder cancer within a year of receiving 3 doses of the Moderna RNA shot.
I want you to text this to me, please. I got a bunch of people I'm going to send this one to. Plus, I want to post it on the website.
I'll have Harrison write an article on it, too. I'll have him do an article on it. Stage 4 bladder cancer. What's crazy about this, within a year, this is unusual and aggressive presentation this age. And the doctor said in this, he goes, when you look at it, he says, a study revealed that the fragment of genetic material in the patient matched 100% with the sequence contained with the spike protein portion of the Pfizer biotech RNA COVID vaccine. He said, he went into detail here. And he said, according to the study, the odds of such a fragment being a 100% match with a sequence contained within the vaccines are approximately 1 in a trillion.
In other words, it's totally impossible.
It's impossible. It had to be put there. It was injected. And then what's crazy is he goes into detail. He says DNA contamination leads to adverse health effects, including multiple cancers, potential onset to turbo cancer, chronic inflammation, blood clots, strokes, sudden death. DNA contaminants can be passed on to children.
Well, no, we saw that with the SC40 back from the 60s when their kids were coming down with the same problems their parents had and having this in their DNA.
Well, flag this is the average age of patients with bladder cancer is 73. Fewer than 2% of the cases are under 40. And women under 35, it's almost non-existent. It doesn't happen. This girl was 31. And I'll post this. I'm running out of time here. And it goes into detail the dynamics of how it actually happened. If you guys want to read into it. And he said, we found a genetic fingerprint of the vaccine inside her DNA in a gene-dense, unstable region. The integration site was not in a benign safe harbor, but it was in an area where disruption could affect many other genes. According to the study, the integration has an oncogenic potential and tumor-producing potential, leading to permissive landscape for aggressive malignancy.
Okay, I'm going to say something. We're going esoteric.
No, break that down. Okay. I'm going to let everybody just gnaw on that one for a minute.
No, we're gonna go here.
This is huge, by the way.
Okay.
Huge.
Okay, we covered this in Angel Wars. Okay? We covered it with the Garden of Eden and the development of humans. And we talked about the angels worked in the basic Garden of Eden, not the fallen ones, the good angels, in the construction of man and giant laboratory systems. Now, God put us together and built us. And only he could give us life and breathe life into us, is what it says in the Word.
And give us our unique DNA.
Okay? He did this. But they know that there's a genome construction that's required in order to do this. In other words, we are wonderfully made and put together by God Almighty. The entities on the other side of the veil and these entities that are the fallen ones, they don't have the ability to give us life, but they can come in and they can alter this DNA. Now, you think about it for a second. Now, I'm going to go esoteric for 1 second. We always hear about alien abductions. We're going here now, just for a second, because I don't really go here on the show. And we hear about people being taken out of their homes, being taken to craft or some other remote location, having their eggs harvested, having their DNA harvested, and them being aware of what's going on. I mean, we're talking like thousands and thousands of accounts of this. This isn't just made up. And all of a sudden, they're put back into their homes, but the DNA was harvested from these individuals, these other entities. And what they're doing now is they found a way to put this stuff from the COVID shot into a sequence DNA pattern. It says it right here. Where'd this come from?
These liquid nanoparticles.
And that's all that technology from that. And what's interesting to me, years ago, I had a guy here by the name of Jorgen, and he's a good friend of mine. He's passed on now. He got saved with me. I took him to the sinner's prayer. And we had another guy named Gunter. There were two Germans, and we were here having just a lunch. And they brought their wives with them, and Sharon was here. And I remember we started talking to Gunter about, you know, aliens. And he was talking, he had some ridiculous concept about how human beings were built. And he had cancer, and how he was going to turn into a crystal and never die. Well, he's dead. He's not on this planet anymore, wherever he went. But the point is, I said to him, I said, Gunter, I said, you not realize that when you are basically taken by an entity, an alien or whatever you want to call it, that if you call in the name of Jesus, they've got to put you back where they found you because they're afraid he's going to show up. And he looked at me and goes, yes, that's true. And I remember Jurgen looked at me and goes, really? And Gunter says, yes, that is true. If you call in the name of Jesus, they have to put you back. And I looked at Gunter and I said, do you realize that the power that Jesus has, that just the mention of his name, these things tremble and they've got to put you back because they're afraid, because they understand something. Jesus created the heavens and the earth. They know that through him, all things are held together, and they don't want to mess that up and have him show up on the scene. They don't want that because he's all powerful. He's omnipresent. So they're like, okay, well, we know he's here. He's omnipresent anyhow, but we don't want him getting involved in this. So yeah, we'll put you back. And that's the point I'm trying to make here. This type of advanced research, this is off world.
Oh yeah.
This is ET. Absolutely. This is ET stuff.
This is what DARPA does because that's what DARPA specializes in.
And what you have to understand is they put that same thing, that Simeon 40 got put back into that COVID vaccine to suppress the immune system and to put this kind of crap into your system so it incorporates into your DNA, including advanced bladder cancer for people that are 31 years old. Which never, ever happens.
No, that's never happened.
One in a trillion
Stage
chance.
Four.
So we have to realize, you say, well, gosh, Ted, you're going kind of whacked out on this. No, I'm not going whacked out. I'm telling you, I cover this Angel Wars. We are an advanced creation by God Almighty himself, created in his image. Our bodies are so complex, it's unbelievable. The one thing I learned when I was in the biology program at Florida State is that the deeper you get, the more complex it becomes. And there's no way on God's green earth we just slimed out of the slime one day and said, hey, I want to be a human now.
I want to be an amoeba.
Yeah, the amoeba dance, right? And I covered, you guys have watched the show over years, you'll know what I'm doing. It's like, the amoeba goes, I want to be human, I want to be human. That's the amoeba dance, in case you didn't see it the first time. Don't ask me to do that again. And what was funny is the thing is that once you understand who and what we are created in God's image, you start to realize that we're created and we're wonderfully made. They can't stand you because they're jealous of you because you got a soul. They want to destroy you and they want to contaminate your DNA just like they did in Genesis chapter 6. The reason God had to wipe out the planet in Genesis 6, there weren't humans left. They had been contaminated just like this. And Noah and his family had clean seed, and they started over with him. And this says that these entities were here before and after the flood. They haven't stopped doing this to us. They want it the way it was in the days of Noah, and every thought was evil all the time, because they're trying to force God to come up with another plan of salvation for them, because they don't have a plan of salvation like we do. Now remember, it says that a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day for God. So all this stuff happens really, really fast on the cosmic scale. So that means, you know, we're only a couple of days, you know, since Jesus, you know, gave his life and was resurrected on the cosmic level. It's not very long. So he's trying to get everybody to feel right about Christ, know who Christ is, and come to Jesus before he comes back and puts final judgment. And these entities are scared out of their minds because they don't want to be judged and sent to hell. They don't want that because they know what that place is and they don't want to go there. That's why if you read Isaiah chapter 15, I starts talking about these guys are all chained up in hell. And also Lucifer shows up and he's all chained up. And they're going, wait a minute here, bud. You know, you're supposed to take care of this for us. I mean, you told us, you made all these promises to us. Isn't that true with Hollywood? Isn't that true with all these people decide they're going to go in for their lifetime or their short lifetime or whatever, and they're going to basically do what they're going to do and worship the evil one. And all of a sudden they die and they got to pay for this stuff for eternity. By the way, we're talking billions of years now. And so they get a few years of fame and glory, a few years of private jets, a few years of running around, showing themselves on social media, naked, half naked, whatever, like Kim Kardashian. And then the judgment comes. And they want everybody to believe in their shallow mind on this planet that the most important thing is notoriety and money and stuff. You know, I just found out this morning, I've got a 5-ton air conditioner just went out. I can't believe it. Now I've just another $9,000 in stuff I've got to fix. And I'm like, this is crazy. How in the world can this? And that's the problem. They want you to believe that the stuff's going to make you happy. Stuff doesn't make you happy. You know, if you base your life on happenings, you never stay happy because something always changes and the happenings change. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that gives you the righteous peace and joy to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So when you see stuff like this, which is an incredibly good article, Austin, again, please text it to me.
I'm emailing it right now.
Okay. Don't email it to me. Text it to me. And the thing about it is when you look at it like that and you see it, what happens is you start to realize that, hey, they're really messing with our DNA, these same entities from the other side of the veil, because they want to change you because they're angry. You have a soul. They don't. They want to be you because they're jealous of you, and they hate God Almighty. That's why they do this kind of stuff, by the way.
Let me finish this real quick because I want to cover this last part in this article here, because this is exactly what we had talked about for literally years now, and people said, that can't happen. This goes with a 31-year-old female who developed stage 4 bladder cancer, 31.
Like within about a month.
She said it happened within less than a year of receiving 3 doses of the Moderna shot. According to Holscher, the study found that the vaccination led to a series of adverse events that led to the cancer. He said, and I quote, "We saw a perfect storm. Genes that normally drive cancer were switched on. Genes that normally repair DNA were broken. The broad disruption in cell signaling were present across every biospecimen we tested. All of this emerged within less than a year of her RNA vaccination series. Taken together, the pattern is biologically plausible for accelerating cancer progression. I told you guys that turbo cancer is not a joke. Everything on media, though, when you look it up, Snopes says turbo cancers don't exist. Google says turbo cancers are a conspiracy theory. I'm telling you, documented evidence right here saying that this is what's going on.
I have a friend of mine who's a general manager of a car dealership in Tampa.
Yeah.
And I know him very well. And this was 5 years ago, you know, I was talking to him, and I said, don't take that COVID shot. Yeah. And he said, I'm not going to do it. He goes, my wife took my daughter to get it. Now my daughter's all kinds of health problems. She won't stop her period. She's been bleeding now for months. And I said, don't do it anymore. Don't take any more of these shots. I said, they cause turbo cancer.
This was not a vaccine.
And you know, he told me, no, this was a bioweapon. Yeah. And he said to me, he goes, they cause turbo cancers, you know, super fast progressive cancer. He goes, Ted, I've had 5 friends die of advanced fast cancers in the last 6 months.
People that normally were moderately healthy, all of a sudden they go in, they got stage 3, stage 4 cancer like that.
Gone. Done.
Like, what happened? We don't know. It's popped up. Last year, you got your blood work done. You were perfect. You come in with this blood work, your white blood cells are through the roof. You got freaking cancer. How did I get cancer in a year? Well, you got stage 4 cancer. You just have cancer. You got stage 4.
You have stage 4 pancreatic liver cancer. You've got 3 weeks,
you got
3 to 4 weeks
to live. It's like, okay. But anyways, switching one last story. This is a funny story. I got to end on something funny as far as in Florida. So there's,
we got more gator stories?
This isn't a gator story.
Is it anaconda?
This
python?
Is why you got to stay armed. You got to stay armed. Guy goes to buy a motorcycle in Florida. So he's test driving this motorcycle. And he cuts off this Jeep Grand Cherokee, and the Jeep Grand Cherokee gets so mad at him, he starts chasing him. Well, then he gets even madder because the motorcyclist is actually starting to evade him. He pulls out a gun and starts shooting at the motorcyclist while he's chasing him on a public highway until the motorcycle wrecks.
This is horrible. So I thought you said it was going to be a fun story.
It's fun. No, I'm just joking. The reason why I'm saying this is be very cautious in Florida. Don't move here. You won't like Florida. It's bad. Gators.
That was a terrible story to end on.
That's a great story.
Was the kid on the motorcycle hurt?
No. He got a little road rash on his knee. He's alive. The guy's in jail now, and he's going to jail. And now he's talking about how you got to be really careful driving because sometimes you make people really mad on a motorcycle.
I remember one time I had a guy that I was going to the airport up in North.
I could have had a better story than that. I just thought it was funny. I got dark humor sometimes. It's Thursday. Leave me alone. He's alive. The guy's in jail. He survived.
But, you know, but some people, they want to die.
Some people want to shoot other people.
No, listen to me. Some people, like old military boys, you know, they're 70, 80 years old. Everything's falling apart. They've got some kind of advanced stage 4 cancer, and they want to be in a shootout so they can check out and have their boots on.
This guy was 23. Yeah, he was just nuts.
But I'm telling you that sometimes when you get old people mad, they do crazy things.
Well, no,
you get 23-year-olds mad, they do crazy things.
No, I was about to say, when I was on bikes down here, there were multiple times. I was on a bike, and sometimes I split cars, cut people off. I would do just
stupid stuff
at 20 years old, you know, whatever, a long time ago.
This is against my wishes, by the way.
It's against everybody's wishes. I don't do it anymore. But so what happens is people get really mad sometimes against motorcycles, like really, really mad. So in all topic of this, if you're riding a bike, be cautious, because sometimes people get really angry. And if also, too, if you're driving and a bike cuts you off, just let it go. Have some peace. Chill out.
You can't catch it anyhow unless you're a zero.
You're not going to catch it. Yeah. Nobody cares. Is it going to matter in 5 minutes? Probably not. So this is a story about everybody just needs to calm down and relax. Yesterday, I was coming back from Orlando. I got stuck in traffic for 2 hours because there was a blackout storm. You couldn't see past your windshields on I-4 and traffic.
I saw that. It was heavy rain.
It was fantastic. I just sat there. You know what? For the first times, I didn't even get mad at traffic. I thought, you know what? This could be a reason why it's keeping me safe right now. Mm-hmm. It could be a storm that's happening that, you know, is going to delay my time to get home. But something else could have happened. And so I'm going to sit
here.
That's
how I always look at it.
I'm going to listen to some good Christian music. I'm going to relax. I'm going to enjoy my time. I'm alive. I'm healthy. I'm strong. Listen to some podcasts. Take some notes for today's show. So again, my friends, stay strong. Stay healthy. The product of the week, you guys don't even probably know about this, is the joint rebuilding formula.
Great product.
The classic product, rebranded about a year ago. We made it even better than it was. It's on sale for over 10% off. Grab that on sale right now. Have a blessed, safe night, my friends. Have peace. Have your joy. Have your health. Continue to go on with your life. I love y'all. Talk to you on the show tomorrow, as always.
And always remember, through Jesus, all things are held together. I love you guys.